Good morning, Prince of Peace. So this week I've been interested in words that don't translate well into the English language. Words that show up in other languages and other cultures, but we don't have a good concept of that, even though it's something that we experience. One of those words is a word from the German language, Kummerspeck. Does anybody know what Kummerspeck means? Translated literally, it means grief bacon. Kummerspeck is all that weight that you gain from emotional overeating in high stress times. Sometimes when the stress is high and you grab that extra Halloween candy, I know I've put on a few Kummerspeck pounds since Halloween. There's other words too, like the word hygge in the Danish language. Have you heard this word before? It's a word that in English we might try to translate as comfort or cozy, but hygge is a word that means more than that. It's the warmth of a candlelit room and a snuggly blanket and sitting by the fireside in a dark, long night. It's the warmth of the indoors in winter. Or the word that comes from the Swedish language, fika. In English, we have the words coffee break that kind of denotes a little five-minute quick break in the day or maybe 15. But fika in Swedish is more than just a coffee break. It's about the community that you engage in. It's a social ritual of stepping out of your day, out of the busyness of life to gather around an intentional cup of coffee and to connect with one another. Carries a sense of community with it that a coffee break just doesn't have. Or there's a Japanese phrase, mano no arue. It's a phrase that is beautiful and stands for a beautiful thing. The beautiful, bittersweet experience of watching the last petal fall from a flower. Or that experience of like being on a vacation and it's the last day of the vacation. And you're not ready to go home yet, but reality is starting to set in a little bit that you're going to have to go back. It's kind of like nostalgia, but for the present moment. Mano no arwe. In our psalm this morning that Dale read to us, we read a translated word. And in the psalm, in between those exclamations of praise to God that reach up to the heavens, we hear a theme of a word, steadfast. Did you hear that when the psalm was read? My steadfast heart, O God. My heart is steadfast. For your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. This idea of steadfastness weaves throughout this psalm and throughout many of the psalms, in fact. But in English, we just get the one word, steadfast. In Hebrew, we get two. The first one is talking about my heart, the heart of David who's writing it, and the heart of us as we say and pray that psalm for ourselves. It's the word nachom. It's a word that means to be ready. It means to be upright or right, prepared. It's a word that shows up in another place in Psalms, in a passage that you might know. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's nachom. A few weeks ago, Pastor Paul was preaching about this idea of steadfastness, this idea of uprightness, this idea of a heart that's prepared when he had a sermon on being in position. And we were talking about the book of Ruth, which we've been in the last 6 weeks. And Pastor Paul talked about how Ruth and her actions put her in position to receive what God was about to do in her life. And that's the sense of this kind of word, this steadfastness, this uprightness. It's to be in position, to be ready to catch what God is going to throw your way. But the second time, or the next time we hear the word steadfast in the psalm. For your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Talking about God's steadfast love, it's a different word now. It's a word in Hebrew, hesed. Hesed is also translated as loving kindness. We get steadfast love. We get mercy. It's a word that stands for so much that we need two words in English to kind of hold it together. It's a word that we see in Scripture that talks about the way that God is acting in the world. And in the book of Ruth, which we've been in, this is one of the primary places where hesed shows up, where this word is used to describe the kind of love that Ruth shows to Naomi. When Naomi doesn't even have love for herself, she doesn't think she's worthy of love. She says to her daughters, go away, go back home, leave me alone. I'm not worthy of your love. I don't want you. And yet Ruth proclaims, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. This is an act of hesed. It's a way of love that loves Naomi even in a way that she cannot love herself, is in fact incapable of loving herself in that way. That hesed love shows up again as Ruth loves Boaz and shares her love with Boaz. And Boaz says to her, I'm not worthy of this. Are you sure about this? Have you seen me? Like, there are so many other men in this town, so many other handsome men. You could have your pick of any of them. Why do you choose me? But Ruth loves him, is willing to share her love with him in a way that he wasn't able to share for himself. Hesed has this kind of power dynamic, that there is something that you can do for somebody that they cannot do for themselves. Hesed is the way that God shows up in Ruth's life then, responding and interweaving her into the story that's been beginning since the dawn of creation and that continues on, interweaving her into God's own family, into making her one of the ancestors of King David and then of Jesus Christ. This hesed, steadfast love shows up as God is loving Abraham over and over again, giving him this blessing of descendants, which he is way too old to be able to manage on his own. It's a love that shows up in a way that he can't do for himself. It's a steadfast love that shows up for David, the king who makes a whole lot of mistakes and shows up at God's feet asking for forgiveness. And God says, I forgive you and I still bless you, not because of who you are, but because of who I am. The steadfast love, this hesed love, is a love that shows up and is proclaimed in the book of Lamentations, a book that's written at the destruction of Jerusalem, at the decimation of the people, when they have been broken and torn. And even in that place of brokenness, this drumbeat, this heartbeat of love keeps continuing to be proclaimed that God is there, that God is loving, and God will continue to love in a way that never fails. Hesed love shows up throughout the scriptures talking about God's way of acting in the world. And it can be hard to kind of translate that into our own experience. We don't have a good word to hold that kind of love in English. And yet, I think we can get there. This week, I was invited to be on a silly little podcast called My Bad Poetry. And so I was going back into some old journals from college and other times where I was looking up some bad poetry that I had written and was preparing to share. And in those journals, as I was preparing for this, I came across an entry from 2016. And it was pretty short. It just said this. Thoughts from the side of the road. Today was a day that I could show love to somebody. It was a good day. You've had that feeling when you've been able to have an impact on somebody's life, to just change the trajectory of their day just a little bit, to love them in a way that they weren't able to do for themselves in that moment. I have no idea what I was doing on the side of the road in 2016 that made me wrote that. I have no recollection at all of what was going on. But I do remember that feeling. And I don't know what I was doing on the side of the road, but maybe it was something like the way that people showed love for me and my family when I was a kid. I was traveling with my mom and my sister. We were on vacation in Colorado. It was dark out, and we had a flat tire on a highway. The tire was pretty destroyed. We weren't able to drive the car. My mom pulled off to the side of the road, and she had no idea how to change a tire. And we were little, also didn't know how to change a tire. So we were stranded on the side of the road. And cars were passing by, no one was stopping. We had our hazard lights on, and down the hill a little ways, down the little embankment and across this kind of weedy field, we saw a building. It was a church, and they had their lights on. And so pretty soon, my mom had us kind of scoot down the hill and tramp across the field to go knock on the door of this church. And inside, there was a small group of men and women that were gathering for some church function, and my mom shared what was our situation, and they just had lots of smiles, and pretty quickly, they filed out of the church and put us in their cars and drove us back to our van and changed our tire and sent us on our way with prayer. They loved us in a way that we weren't able to love ourselves in that moment. They cared for us in a way that was beyond our own power to do. Hesed love can be little things like that. It can also be big things. In 2006, I got a chance to go to China as part of an archaeology and anthropology delegation with my school. And we visited China for about 3 weeks, and one of the places we spent a good chunk of time was in the Sichuan province in the city of Chengdu. 2 years after I was there, Chengdu was hit with a massive earthquake, like 7.9 whatever on the Richter scale. It destroyed a lot of buildings. It killed a lot of people. And in the aftermath of that earthquake, a Chinese newspaper reported a story that came out of that experience. A search and rescue team found a woman's body in the rubble. She was on her knees, propped up by her hands, and they could tell she was dead. The crew moved on, continuing to look for survivors, but one member of the crew, thinking about the way her body was positioned, called them back. Getting down, he reached into the rubble and felt underneath her body and found a child. There was an infant boy, a couple months old, wrapped in a blanket, sleeping. They dug the child out, and a field doctor took him to examine him for injuries and found a cell phone wedged into the folds of the blanket. And there was a text message open, and it read, "My dear baby, if you were to stay alive, you must remember that I love you." Hesed is this kind of steadfast love that endures even beyond the boundaries of life and death. It's a love that loves you in a way that you are incapable of doing for yourself. It's a love that shows up, that has no strings attached, but is given out of a fount of mercy and invites the person receiving it to experience more freedom in their life. It's the kind of love that Jesus shares for us on the cross. It's the kind of love that Martin Luther finally finds rest for his spirit in, a love that doesn't depend on his ability to be worthy enough to deserve it, but only on the goodness of God to give it, a goodness that never fails, that runs after me, as we sang. A goodness that, and a love that Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians. A love that bears all things, that believes all things, that hopes all things, that endures all things. It's a steadfast, hesed love that endures forever, as Psalm 136 proclaims again and again and again and again and again. God's steadfast love endures forever. It's the love that washes over us in our baptisms and is not meant to just wash over us, but is meant to wash through us. A love that is meant to move through us as we are empowered to love other people in ways that they may not be able to give love for themselves. Jane Tomain writes in her book, St. Benedict's Toolbox, of a love like this, talking about one way that hesed love shows up in the practice of hospitality. She writes, "When we practice hospitality, we become co-creators with God in making a more loving and equitable world." Sharing hospitality is something that is core to the identity of our church at Prince of Peace. It's why we proclaim a bigness of God. It's why we extend a welcome to all people to come and gather and be part of this family of faith. It's why we make room at the tables and here in the sanctuary for all people. It's a love that shows up in an embodied way. This hesed love is a love that shows up in hands extended, in hearts that are ready, in a welcome that others cannot offer for themselves. Because if you think about it, as a guest, when you show up, you are not in charge. You're not in control of the welcome you receive. That is a kind of love that only the host, the hospitable host, can share. And when we make room for others, when we make space for strangers and neighbors, even those that we might be uncomfortable with or have disagreements with, when we make space for them, we join with God in repairing what's broken in the world. This Thanksgiving evening, the evening before Thanksgiving, we have an opportunity to practice that hospitality together in a meal that invites the community of Mission Outpost to come and join with us, not as people being served, but as equals, as guests, as we host and guest together. It's an opportunity to share that hospitality, just like your Thanksgiving table is an opportunity to share that hospitality with one another. This is hesed love. Let us pray. Holy God, your love lasts forever. It loves us in a way that we do not know how or are incapable of loving for ourselves. Your hesed love endures forever. Wash over us in your love and let that love wash through us. In Jesus' holy and precious love, we pray. Amen.